It's good to be back this morning from the great state of Tennessee, okay, to worship with you and to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to give a big thank you to John Hansen for coming and preaching last Sunday. I always know that when he comes to preach that the church is in good hands, amen? Not that it's not in good hands with you, Gary, okay? Why didn't I think of that before? Anyway, I want to get started with the Bible declaration this morning, so if you would stand with me again, please. Just so you know, okay? Just so you know, I'm kind of struggling back and forth with what to preach today. I have a message right here that's it's good, okay? It's good. Yet I have a burden on my heart, and I've got to. Somehow in and through that, decide here in the next couple of minutes whether it's a burden on my heart to give to you or whether it's just a burden on my heart, okay? Amen? Okay, are you ready? Take your Bibles. Hold it up in the air. Are you ready? Is more than Jim ready? All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. Let's go. I wonder if we can be kind of Pentecostal here just for a moment, and if you could just bow your heads and pray, and maybe that I would hear the Lord. It doesn't mean you have to pray to yourself, okay? You can pray out loud. Come on. You can pray out loud. You can speak in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. But let's just do that just for a couple of seconds here. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. We'll see. Okay. We're in part 8 of our Fundamental Foundations series, and the message for this morning is entitled The Basics of Baptism. It's so funny. The one thing that I thought was going to be hard to preach on was baptism. The one thing that I thought wouldn't hold a whole lot in store was baptism. And I thought that, you know, in fact, I even skipped over it because the week that we did baptizing was when I should have done this one, and I skipped over it. But I think I really realize now why, because there is so much, there's so much entailed in the baptism. Amen? And so I highly doubt that we will get through the whole message today. But at least we'll get started, okay? In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if this is going to be 3 parts. And I also want to tell you that it really is good to be back. I love going on vacation. And I love Tennessee, okay? I mean, I really love Tennessee. But there's something about coming home, amen? There's something about coming home to be among the people that you know and you love, amen? Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I want to tell you also this morning that this is going to be more teaching than preaching, although I have a tendency to preach in my teaching. So if you want to take notes, that's probably a good idea, because there's going to be quite a few things within this message that are really kind of neat, okay? As we've been learning over the past number of weeks, God wants each one of us to grow in our spiritual walk with him. Amen? He wants us to grow. And in that, he wants us to thoroughly understand the fundamental doctrines necessary for an effective and strong foundation. That's what we've been talking about. That's what we've been preaching, okay? So before we study the next elementary principle of Christ, let's look again just briefly, if you will, at the writer of Hebrews and what he said in Hebrews 6:1. But first, I would like to ask Gary to come and pray for the message. So Gary, would you come?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just, God, just want you to have your way in each one of us today. Father, I thank you that you will reveal your word to us.
Thank you, God.
God, in such a, just a powerful, Lord, life-changing way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, God.
God, we welcome you to just to mess with our theology, God, to mess with, Lord, what we've learned when we were young, God, and just teach us the truth, Father, because we know that your word and the truth, Lord, will set us free, mm-hmm. God, and that's what we need is to be free. God, free in you. Father, we thank you for Pastor West, God. We thank you for bringing him back, God. We thank you that you speak through him, Father, and that he does that with all the power and authority, God, that you've given him. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Now you know what next week's message is going to be about, okay? Psalm 145. You know, what we did this morning and how we prayed this morning when we were in the office was that, God, you know, just take us back. Just take us back to a time when worship was just amazing. Because there was a time when the church just opened up, when people would praise and the altar would fill. And, you know, I don't want to judge how good worship was by whether or not the altar fills. I don't judge a message, you know, by how full the altar gets. But the truth is, the thing, at the time of the beginning of the church, everybody was just so hungry. And I know you can be hungry in your pews, and I'm not saying that. But as we began to worship this morning, I could feel the presence of the Lord just flood in this place. And I just happen to believe that God doesn't come for no reason, okay? I mean, he's always here, but there's times when he comes in a more evident way, amen? And I just believe that when he does that, he's got something he wants to say to you, okay? And as I was worshiping and such, I picked up my Bible and I turned to Psalm 145. And it said this, "I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever." That means, you know, that we are supposed to be praising God from now to eternity, okay? And eternity doesn't stop. We start praising him now, and we never stop praising him. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then it said this, and this is what really, really stuck out to me. It said in verse 2, "I will praise you every day." Yes, I will praise you forever. "I will praise you every day." And I guess that's the question I want to ask you this morning. Do you praise him every day? Or do you have days like I'm having today where everything I touch falls to the ground? No, I'm not. That's not nothing spiritual. Everything I touch falls off the table to the ground. Everything I try to do, I try to put on my shoes and my foot don't go in the shoe. Come on, am I the only one that ever has days like that? Well, on days like that, the Bible still says, "I will praise you every day. I will praise you every day." Do you praise him every day? When things are rough, when things are hard, you know, it's really easy to praise him. Like on a youth convention weekend, everybody is explosively loud and worshiping the Lord. But what about the next day? What about when that music is turned off? What about, and what happens if the church is closed? What happens if the pastor doesn't have a message? But I guarantee you I did. What happens at those times? What happens if the sound system goes down? Do you still praise the Lord? Do you count on Sunday morning being the only time when you can really praise God? You know, unfortunately, there's times in my life and seasons in my life where I find myself only praising on Sunday morning. And you know, when that happens and when that praise is omitted from my life isn't as good. And my focus becomes my problem instead of my focus being the Lord. And I want you to know one thing today. If your focus, your real focus, is not the Lord, okay? If it isn't the Lord, you're going to have problems. Because then your circumstances seem to overwhelm the Lord. Come on.
Yes.
So, you know, we always think that we have to be moved upon to praise, right? Boy, I really praised the Lord this morning because I felt the presence of God. What happens when you don't feel the presence of God? What happens when you've been 6 weeks and you haven't heard God speak a word to you? You haven't heard it in prayer and you haven't heard it in the Word. What do you do then? The Bible still says, I will praise Him every day. I will praise Him every day. I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord, and He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure His greatness, and that is the truth. He has been so good to you, and I don't know all the things He's been good to you in, but when I look at how good He's been to me, and He is no respecter of persons, I know He's been so good to you. And that's why we come together on a Sunday morning to celebrate His goodness, to celebrate what He's done. And all of us, even if we had a bad week, even then, you know one thing that He's always done for us? He saved us. Oh, glory to God. He saved us. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. We were baptized in His blood. Glory to God. Dipped and died in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when that happened, your life changed. And suddenly now you become a part of the group of people that will praise Him every day. Will you praise Him every day? When things go really, really bad, instead of silly little things happening like stuff falling off tables and the garage door not being opened when you go out, although you're sure that you opened it, when those, I'm not talking about that. What about, that's never happened to me. Yeah, no. Anyway, are you still going to praise Him? What about those times when you don't get along with your, I'll say spouse, okay? Your wife, your husband, whatever. You don't get along. It doesn't matter what you do. They're still wrong. Do you praise God at those times? Do you praise God at those times when it seems like your life is falling apart? Do you praise God at those times when you feel, and one of the big, big pushes today, and maybe I shouldn't say it that way, but one of the big pushes today is depression. Doctors are so quick to give a bunch of medication for depression. I have. And I'm not saying that you should never take that. Please, don't misunderstand me. But have you tried praise? Amen. The Bible says, put on the garment of praise. That means you put that praise all over you, okay? You praise Him in the morning, in the evening, and you praise Him at noontime. You praise Him all the time. When things are really bad, when someone says something to you that really throws you off, you say, well, praise the Lord, and mean it. I will praise you every day. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. Then verse 5 says this, I will meditate, I'm on Psalm 145, by the way. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and all your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on my very tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. Why will they sing with joy about His righteousness? Because you tell them. Amen. Because you share with them what God has done in your life. You know, God has done many, many things, but one of the most grateful things that He's done in my life, of course I have to say, is my salvation, and it is. And He brought me Serena, that's another thing. But you know, He healed me from a stroke. That doesn't happen every day. All right, that doesn't happen every day. He healed Lisa of cancer. Come on, that doesn't happen every day. And we can shout and scream of his glorious greatness. And we can tell people, because you know what? You can tell them my pastor had a stroke, but now he's fine.
Amen.
A lady in our church, you know, she had cancer. I mean, she had cancer, and now she's healed. The doctors don't know how they gave an explanation, but... But the thing of it is, you know, you're telling them truth. You're telling them the facts. You're telling them, and you know what you're really doing? You're telling them of his glorious greatness, of his goodness towards you. Sometimes we think that we have to have this all down pat. We think that we have to say it King James-wise, you know, like, thou Lisa of Central Family Worship Center didst find herself caught betwixt a strait. Come on. You know, we don't have to do that. We tell of his glorious greatness. Well, I don't know how to witness. Then tell of his glorious greatness. I don't know what to say to people. Then tell them how good God is. Well, I don't share that good. Just tell them how good God is. Let them see how good God is in your life. Amen? Let them see the many things that he's done for you. And maybe you find yourself today sitting in the position where you're going, oh, God's never done anything for me. But have you really ever asked God and then expected him to answer your prayer?
Amen.
See, I serve a God that says he answers prayer.
Amen. Amen.
He answers
prayer. That when I ask anything according to his will, and how do I know his will?
It's the word. It's right there.
The word.
Amen.
If I ask anything according to his will, it's done. That's all right. If you think you can have a relationship with God outside of this word, you are sadly mistaken. Amen? You are sadly, sadly, poorly, poorly mistaken. If you think that you can know who God is outside of this word, outside of making it a part of your life, you're sadly mistaken. Because we can know so much about God through reading his word. We can find out that he's merciful. We find out that he loves us. We find out that he is the God of the universe. We find out that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Your depression, your hard times, your difficulties, it doesn't separate you from the love of God. He still loves you. And that's the thing about the word. You know, we can find out this morning that we're supposed to praise him every day. Every day. Every day. You mean I'm supposed to praise him when things go bad? Yeah, don't praise him for the bad things. Praise him for getting you through the bad things. I'm not going to praise God. Gee, Lord, I thank you for this achy hip that I've got. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to thank you for healing the achy hip that I've got. All right? Why am I going to do that? Because I know he's grateful. And I'm going to speak of his praises all day long. Every day. Every day. The Lord is merciful and compassionate. Now listen to this. Slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Wow. Wow. I like the part where it says he's slow to get angry. Because I can be kind of a jerk sometimes. And some other people can be too, okay? All right. And there's times when I will cry out to God, and I won't be improper or off color or anything like that, but I'll yell.
I do too.
Yeah. I do too.
Why hasn't this happened yet? What are you doing? You know, like he's got to answer me on that one, that last one especially. But he's slow to get angry. That means he doesn't go, dang. You said that, I forget it. Just forget it. He's slow to anger. Slow to anger. Very slow to anger. And I don't know about you, but I think that's glorious. And because he's a God like he is, and I found out through reading his word, because the word is Jesus. Jesus is the word. John chapter 1. Right? Because I've read that, I know. I know these things about God. I know that I can go to Him. I know that He's the only safe place that there is. I know that if I go to Him and if I pour my heart out to Him, He doesn't pour my heart out to somebody else. How many of you have gone to somebody, you know, and just poured your heart out to them, and then they poured your heart out to somebody else? And, I mean, nobody should do that, right? God doesn't do that. God, He never will do that. Amen? He never will do that. Why? Because it's full of mercy. He's compassionate. He knows. Say, He knows.
He knows.
He knows. He absolutely does. The Lord is good to some people. Oh, wait a minute. It says the Lord is good to everyone. Oh, but God don't like me. He doesn't like the way I've done things. The Lord is good to everyone. Bible's written to you and I, the Christian, right? Amen? The Lord is good to everyone. He shows compassion on all His creation. All your works will thank you, Lord. And your faithful followers will praise you. That's us. That's us. And as He exhorts us through David, all right, to praise Him every day, we find elsewhere in the Bible that it tells us that we can put on the garment of praise when we're feeling low.
Yes.
Do you know that? You know, and it does. Sometimes it absolutely works. Sometimes it's the exact opposite of what you want to do.
Amen.
Why is that? Because your flesh has probably gotten a little bit more nourishment than your spirit lately.
Thank you.
Okay, you can write that one down. But it goes on to say, they will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. Well, I don't have any examples. I do. Use mine. My pastor got healed of a stroke.
Amen.
Use Lisa's. You don't care, do you? Okay. This lady I know in church, she got healed. Healed. Well, God doesn't do that today.
Yes, He does. He would be God.
Yeah, He does. Sorry, He does.
Yes, He does.
And what I know to be true in reading this word is that He says, I should praise Him every day. I should praise Him when I'm feeling really low. I should praise Him when I'm feeling great.
Amen.
I should especially praise Him when good things come my way and I have an inkling that they are coming my way because of me. Because they're not coming my way because of me. They're coming my way because of God.
Amen.
Amen. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning.
No shadow.
He doesn't change. All right? He doesn't change. He did things for David. He'll do things for you.
Amen.
He did things for Sarah, ladies. He'll do things for you. I always say, you know, I don't really want to go back to where I came from. Because if I go back to where I came from, I'll end up in the same place that I am. I'll just do it again slower. So it's not like you want to go back to a day when you used to praise Him. You want to start today praising Him. Do you understand the difference? You know, your life has taken you, and the way that you handle things and the way that you deal with things, your life has taken you down a path that many times causes you to forget God and how good He is. All right?
Yes.
We have to keep in our mind and keep in our spirit the idea that He's worthy of it all. That song this morning just touched my heart. You know, He's worthy of it all.
Yes.
He's worthy of my trust.
Amen.
He's worthy. I can trust Him to save me. I can trust in the blood of Jesus. I can trust in the cross of Calvary. I can trust that He said that only good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights. I can trust Him in that. I can trust Him when He says that, you know, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I can trust then that when things are really, really bad, no matter whether I want to do it or not, that if I just start praising him, that depression or that load or whatever it is that's bothering you, it will be gone. Has anybody here experienced that? I mean, really, really experienced that. When you are feeling down, when you're just feeling down and you begin to worship the Lord, last thing you want to do, thank him for what's going on or for helping you through things, you know, thank him.
Yes.
Have you ever felt the relief that only comes by making God a part of the equation? I mean, you can call people and you can tell people and you might have your best friend who you can tell everything to, but you know what? When you tell God, it's a different story. Not only is what you told him safe, but in and through that, when you begin to praise him, he removes that from you. You can tell your friend, but they don't remove it from you, right? Amen. You know, you can tell your mother or your father, but they don't remove it from you. God removes it from you. Glory to God. Excuse me. Glory to God. There is so much. I have never looked at Psalm 145 this way, but this is what the Holy Spirit will do, okay? And I'm not the exception. He'll do that with you too. But you have to read his word. Amen. I just picked up his word during worship because I felt impressed to. I read Psalm 145 because I felt impressed to read somewhere towards the end of the Psalms. And he's given me this for somebody today.
Amen.
And you might not think that oh boy, the pastor's up there rambling today, but there might be that one person that's either here watching on a stream that will be lifted out of their darkest hour because they've learned to praise God through just the word of God and what it says in here. Do you understand that this morning? I've heard all this before. This is nothing new. This is just the same old thing, you know, again, well, then do it.
Amen.
The bad thing is, you know, we leak, right?
Yes.
We know a truth, like this praising God, but we leak, and it leaks out of us, and then we don't do it.
Amen.
But the Bible says, I will praise you when? Every day. Every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. You know, we're always told, oh, well, you better get used to worshiping and praising now. Because when you get to heaven, you're going to be worshiping and praising for eternity. I happen to think we'll be doing a little bit more than that. But we need to praise him here. We need to praise him now. It's the only way out. If you really want to get out of your circumstance, I mean, if you really, many people don't really want to get out. Many people would rather just talk about their circumstance than get out of their circumstance. Why? It brings them some attention. But if you really want to get out of what you're into, or what you found the devil has put you into, then include God. Include God. Invite him in. He's just waiting there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Glory to God. It's not even a difficult thing. And if anyone will open the door, I will come in and sup with him or fellowship with him or be with him and talk with him. Okay? Well, I'm not that spiritual. No, you understand. The Bible said anyone. Sometimes the least spiritual people are better to receive from the Lord than the most spiritual people because they aren't trying to rely on past experiences. They're just saying, I believe, and they receive. So what I feel this morning is, you know, there is so many dimensions in worship, okay? There's so many things that it does for us. And we're encouraged to worship every day because I don't know about you, but I need it every day.
Yes.
All right? Every day. Well, and let me say this. Maybe you're struggling with a certain area of your life and you can't get rid of it. I mean, you say, okay, this is the last time this is going to happen, and yet it occurs again the next day. You have to know something about praising the Lord in the morning, worshiping the Lord in the morning, praying in the morning. When you start your day out with God, it's difficult to move from where you are with God to that area of sin. And I don't know who needs to hear that, but somebody needs to hear that. You get your focus right, all right, your day will go much better. Amen?
Amen.
Now, it's so easy to hear a message, okay, and say, well, that was good, or that was bad, or yeah, that was all right, whatever. But even in those three things, you walk out of the sanctuary and you never think of it again. Or if you do, you don't remember. Do you know what I'm talking about? You even take notes. You ever go back and read those notes? Oh, I got seven journals. You know what any of them say? You know? Yeah, I know. Serena, I know you do. I exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. I want to be among the people that live in those first three verses.
Amen.
Amen. I want to be among the people that can say with a heart that's pure and true and say, you know what, I praise him every day. I mean, I know I'm flesh and I know things happen, but I don't want to use that for an excuse anymore. You know, sometimes we have reasons and those reasons are used for excuses and it just excuses us from having to do the thing that we know that we need to do. I hope that makes some sense. How many of you believe the word of God? How many of you believe it is the undisputed, absolute, positive, and help me here, uncorrupted?
Yep.
Oh, but man has corrupted the word of God. No, come on. Give me a break. Give me a break. Oh, no, he hasn't. The basics in the word of God are the same, whether you're reading King James, NIV, New King James, NLT. But we seem to forget. And it's so easy on a Sunday morning to remember, because we're there, we're doing it, we're worshiping, and you're thinking, oh, I should have worshiped when I went through this or when I went through that. I know we're flesh, I know we're human, but don't use that as an excuse anymore. Let your focus, say focus, let your focus be that you are going to worship the Lord every day, every day. When you're feeling bad, when you're feeling good, when you don't have time. It doesn't take time to worship the Lord. Amen? It doesn't take time to praise the Lord. I mean, I think we should all have a separate time where we close the door, shut off the lights, do whatever we got to do, and get alone with the Lord. Because there's nothing like doing that. But let's be real here. Most of us don't take the time or don't, I'm going to say, take the time to get locked away. You can still worship him, all right? You can still praise him. You can still thank him, right? Yesterday, I probably shouldn't say this. I was putting a light up in my daughter's bedroom. What should have taken a half hour at most was going on 2 hours. And Serena said to me, hey, what are you doing? And me, of course, being the gentle man that I am. Putting up for light, you know. And I said, and I thank God that he's slow to anger. I said, I think God is against me in everything I do, in every screw I turn, in every piece of wire that I crimp, you know. And I was half kidding, but I was half not kidding either, you know. Have you ever felt that way?
Yeah.
By the way, that isn't God that does that. God is a good God. He's full of mercy. He's full of compassion. His heart towards you is even so much more than what your heart is towards him at your most loving moment. So take that and do with it as you wish. Take that, I pray, and go through your week and begin to establish a habit of praising his name, a habit of just lifting him up, a habit of sharing him, a habit of reading your words so that you can know what it is in his word. You can know what it says in his word so that you can do what it says in his word. Are you with me? Amen.